Which show is the Freak Show Wrestling?
Freak Show Wrestling is the one Sin Bodhi does.
My name is Sin Bodhi, Warlord of Weird. Some of the most talented freaks in the whole wide world are right here in Las Vegas in Sin City. And they're my best friends. And they work for me at my company, Freak Show Wrestling.
I know. He's a little weird.
He's a scary clown.
He's a scary clown, but it's going to be okay.
Because here at motherfucking Hood Slam, all you care about is that you came out to have a good fucking time.
Freak Slam. Talk a little bit about how this concept came about.
Okay, well, Freak Slam is the hybrid sort of halfway point between Freak Show Wrestling and Hood Slam. So Freak Show Wrestling has been sort of notorious throughout Las Vegas and Los Angeles, and Hood Slam is a Northern California, Oakland tradition. We're both pretty crazy, silly, avant-garde shows that sort of take reality to the limit, and we just thought it would be a really fun marriage to sort of get in bed together and see what kind of what shenanigans we could do, you know, possibly tear the fabric of time. So we've got characters from both shows that are going to go head to head. They're going to collide and we're going to see what happens. And it'll be pretty ridiculous. You know, when you got guys like Serial Man and Drugs Bunny and Black Annie and Adolf Hitler and Sin Bodhi and Nurse Ratched and the Stoner Brothers and so forth, all under one roof. I mean, it's going to be pretty insane.
That's funny. Nurse Ratched, she's one of the best bad guys in the history of entertainment, man. I remember her from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She was horrible.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, her reincarnation has donned many a villain. And the current vessel, as maybe my buddy Matt would say, is quite daunting and quite creepy.
Nice, nice. So for those of you that aren't familiar, when we talk about Hood Slam and we talk about Freak Show, think stuff like they'll have John F. Kennedy versus Marilyn Monroe. Like, it's just totally out there. It's a really fun time. And if you all are in the vicinity in Las Vegas, you need to get there because you'll have a great time.
And it's really silly because, out of the old school guys that I've ever had as guest performers on the show, like I have a lot of road guys, you know, like I've had John Morrison dress up as Jesus and he wrestled Santa Claus. I've had Gangrel in a barefoot landmine field, a mousetraps match against the Zach Galifianakis hangover impersonator. You know, like I've done all sorts of ridiculous things. I've wrestled myself, you know, I've had an Inner Demons match where Kevin Sullivan was like the guest ref and stuff. But having like some of the old school guys like Kevin Sullivan or Dr. Tom or Jake the Snake, you know, be guests in the show was always a really kind of ridiculous compliment because they would be like, look, even though you have monkeys fighting bananas and, you know, vampires fighting robots, somehow your psychology is like on point. Like it's just not a bunch of guys in costumes doing a bunch of silly stuff. Like I agent and, kind of plan the shows. So it's, and even the psychology is at its most ridiculous, it's still fun storytelling and so forth. And to have like guys like Sullivan and Dr. Tom and Jake all put over that, you know, even under all the ridiculousness, they can see like the really fun psychology. I'll take that as a compliment.
No, definitely. And frankly, I feel as if you're one of the most underrated creative minds in the industry, if I'm being honest with you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Just telling the truth, man. That's all.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll take that truth any day. Sure. I love it. God bless your bad taste. I appreciate it.
Fair enough. And God bless my woman's bad taste as well, man. So it's a cycle. I'm paying it forward, Sin. Paying it forward.
Sweet.
Now, are you going to be performing on the show as well?
I will be in the Infinity Times Infinity War, and I can just say that it will be some of Freak Show's best and some of Hood Slam's best in one of the most gnarliest, craziest matches that you've ever seen on Freak Show and or Hood Slam.
So Infinity War, I'm imagining there's going to be like a Thanos character.
I have no doubt there is going to be, you know, some intergalactic forces at play. I want to take over the planet, and we'll just have to see how that all plays out. If planet Earth is still here after Saturday night, you'll know something went really, really bad at Freak Show Wrestling and Hood Slam. And
let's see the...
And, you know, Freak Slam really just did a number on planet Earth. So, if we're here on Sunday, you know, everything went well.
It's
we're
either,
not here, you know, oh well.
It's either Freak Show Wrestling or a seismic earthquake and California will be out into the ocean. We won't know which one it'll be.
Absolutely. And I mean, either way, you know, if we're still here, if the planet is still in existence, you know, we're all here, no harm, no foul. If the planet's not here, nobody has to worry about rent or responsibilities after this. So there you go.
So it's a win-win either way is what it sounds like.
That's exactly the best way to look at it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a glass half full type of guy. So
that's what I always tell. I tell new wrestlers that are scared to fly. I'm like, look, flying's cool. Like, it's win-win. Either way, you're not getting off an airplane with a broken ankle. You're either walking off scot-free or your road pizza. Either way, you got nothing to worry about.
That's funny. That's actually very deep, actually. If you guys ever read Napoleon Hill's book, Think or Grow Rich, that's one of his tenets in there. It's like, well, okay, maybe there's an afterlife and you'll be better off, or not. You just go to sleep and you don't have to worry about anything, so fuck it.
Yeah,
don't be scared
either
of
way,
it.
I get some rest or I get to see what's next. Whatever. Yeah. Both sounds good to me.
Yeah, I could dig it. I can dig it. Now, Sin, we had Funny Bone on the show last week, and
he sound like Cookie Monster? Doesn't he sound just like Cookie?
I'm glad you already started. You know where I'm going with this. Yeah, he's not the biggest Sin Bodhi fan, shall we say.
Well, you know, when you're far less handsome than me and you know it and you got to carry that albatross around with you on a daily basis, you know, I'd be grumpy if I was him too, you know. He hates. I'll text him in the middle of the night. Just remind him how good looking I am. We'll just text him like, "Hey, I'm handsome." Yeah, good night. I'll text him at like 3 a.m. and he's just like, "Rah, rah, 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 rah." He gets so to speak.
Yeah, he's kind of a curmudgeon gentleman. I didn't think a demigod would be so curmudgeon. I mean, I'm a mere mortal, and I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, he's a grumpy old guy. Yeah, for sure. You know.
So
he's got a sense of humor hidden under that skull paint of his, and you know, and he's definitely, you know, the Freak Show OG of all OGs. He's been our one and only champ. I always giggle when I hear guys say, "Oh yeah, I'm a 50 million time champ." Well, that just tells me you got put on your back for 3 seconds times 50 million times. You know, I was always a big fan of like Bruno Sammartino because he was a champ once. He just did it for, you know, a million years. Nobody put him on his back. You know, I thought that was a pretty cool deal. Mm-hmm. And I respect that a lot about Funny Bone. I mean, he's one of the hardest working, talented guys that I know. Don't tell him I said that.
Because
I don't like him any more than he likes me.
Mm-hmm. But, your secret's safe with us.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And the wrestling universe listening, don't tell him.
Now, let the people know. I know that the show is happening in Las Vegas, and I believe it's the 23rd. Is that correct?
It is. It's this Saturday. It's in Las Vegas at the Fremont Country Club. Somebody on the Twitter made me laugh because it just said, in nowhere in no galaxy should Hood Slam or Freak Show Wrestling be allowed in any place that's, you know, last couple words in the title is Country Club. That made me laugh. I'm like, that's a very good point.
That's true.
You know, but it's a great venue. Fremont Country Club, FCC, is a great venue. They hold a lot of cool concerts there. They've had everybody from Guar to, I don't know, Slipknot to ICP, all sorts of cool, just lots of cool stuff goes in and out of that club. It's a destination music place in Las Vegas. Really cool place. The atmosphere is cool. It's right downtown, right on Fremont. The address is 601 Fremont. It's right there in the thick of everything. So you can party and eat and drink and do whatever the heck you want to do in Las Vegas, whatever debauchery you want to find before, during, and after Freak Slam. It's all there for you.
Nice. Now, that's weird, though. That is kind of a, you know, Freak Slam and a country club. That is kind of crossing the streams there a little bit. That's a funny point. Yeah. But
well, I think the name is misleading because it's such a gorgeous club on the inside. Really, really cool place. So I think, the name is a tad misleading. So I when I think country club, I think, you know, Caddyshack, and I want to go and turn the place into a little hockey putting green, you know, whatever. I want to chase around little gophers and whatever, but that's a whole other story. So,
and when I think of Fremont Street, I definitely do not think country club. So,
right. Yeah. It's, It's sort of a misleading title, but it is a very cool place. It's right downtown, and it will definitely, and they're crazy enough to facilitate Freak Show Wrestling and Hood Slam under one roof. So good on them for being so nuts.
Yeah.
Now, Fremont Street, that's old school Vegas, right?
Yeah, that's the good part of Vegas. That's not like the foo-foo part of Vegas. That's like the Robert De Niro pile-driving Joe Pesci side of Vegas. That's cool part of Vegas.
I was going to say Sinatra, but that too is a visual.
Close. Yeah, there you go. It's literally, you know, that's Rat Pack and Elvis stomping grounds where we party. So
it's the old Golden Nugget and Binion's, and that's where it all started. That's awesome.
Yep, all that stuff right there. And I mean, Vegas is a really awesome place, especially if you can behave yourself at will and just regulate how much debauchery you get into. Vegas is a super fun city to be in. If you can't control your vices, this city will eat you up. This place is a sort of the halfway point between Disneyland and Sodom and Gomorrah. So if you know how to, you know, kind of hold on to your vices, then awesome place.
I got to imagine.
Hopefully everybody at Freak Slam can't hold on, and then we just drive everybody nuts, and that'll be great.
That's what I was going to say. I'm guessing on the 23rd here coming up that there's going to be not too much regulation going on at Fremont Street.
No, I think all bets are off. I mean, again, you know, when you got guys like the Stoner Brothers or Drugs Bunny in the house, you know things could get illegal very quickly. So there you have it.
Drugs Bunny is a cool-ass name, and it's funny because I was always under the assumption, even as a kid, that Bugs Bunny was high anyway, so I think we're just putting it all out there.
Yeah, I think Bugs Bunny was a baller, and I think Drugs Bunny is definitely the second coming of that icon. So, he's out there. He's sort of like something between Bugs Bunny and Popeye, because, you know, Popeye needs his spinach to hulk up. Well, you know, you can imagine what Drugs Bunny needs, so... Face full of white
Gatorade.
white powder, and he's off to the races. Yeah, face full of white puffy kayfabe, and he's off to it.
Yes. Well, who among us have not needed a little Johnson & Johnson powder to get the game started right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right. Mr. Fuji once threw it in everybody's eyes, and now Drugs Bunny throws it up his sinuses. So, what are you gonna do?
So I want to get back to Freak Slam, but I want to pivot here just for a hot second. I wanted to ask you, Sin, how's everything going with Snake Pit?
Snake Pit's pretty awesome, man. I'm super proud of all the students that have been regular students and the guys that have come off the road for little tune-ups, so to speak, little polishing. It's really, really cool. We're based here in Las Vegas. Snake Pit, for people who don't know, is a pro wrestling school run by myself, Jake the Snake, and D'Lo Brown. And we are now, as of July 1st, we are going to combine with the biggest wrestling show in Las Vegas, FSW, Freak Show, that's a Freudian slip, Future Stars of Pro Wrestling. And they run a really great show. They bring in a ton of cool talent. And we are all going to smash under one roof and be this big mega pro wrestling promotion and pro wrestling school all together. And I think, really, if you think about it, you know, now that we've got me, Jake, and D'Lo under the same roof with Kenny King and Disco Inferno as coaches all together, that's five coaches that cover all the food groups. I mean, I don't think there's anywhere else on the planet besides, you know, the WWE Performance Center that has that many, you know, high-end coaches. We've spanned between us all. It's been WWE, WWF, WCW, New Japan, ROH, TNA, you name it, Mexico, you know, Mars, Heaven, hell, we've been to all those places, performed at all those places between the bunch of the coaches, and we've got all that knowledge to pass on to, you know, brand new students and or wrestling students that just wrestlers that need that psychology, need that fine tuning, need that polishing. So it's a pretty cool deal, and that's going to happen as of July 1st right here in Las Vegas.
And that's really every style, every era now basically covered between the five of you guys.
Style, every era. And then we also, I mean, like, we've always had guest coaches coming in and then seminar coaches. So we've got Juventud Guerrero is going to be doing our first joined Snake Pit FSW seminar That'll be July 23rd, right after the day after our Lucha Libre Las Vegas show, where he will be on there with just so many guys. We've got so much stuff going on down here in Las Vegas. We've got Mariachi Loco from Lucha Underground will be on that show. We've got the Lucha Libre legend El Mathematico will be on that show, doing a meet and greet with all the fans. And Hoobie will be in action, and then the following day we'll do a seminar with the Snake Pit FSW. It'll be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are taking over Vegas, assuming that we're still here after Saturday. It sounds like, yeah, you guys are taking over Vegas.
If Freak Slam doesn't, you know, blow up the planet inadvertently, then come on down to Snake Pit and check it out.
Now, Sin, you talk a lot about psychology. So if you just could, man, if you could break that down in layman's terms for the average viewer listening, what exactly does that mean? And, you know, in terms of wrestling.
Sure, I understand. Well, so psychology is psychology. It's storytelling, and it's, you know, taking people on an emotional roller coaster. You know, you go watch a movie, and you don't need to be Siskel and Ebert to, you know, psychoanalyze that movie. You just need to go and go, yep, loved it. Nope, didn't like it. Yep, it was awesome. Nope, it was boring. You know, it made sense in my brain. My instincts told me that this seemed proper. You know, I liked it. It's really a simple case of storytelling. And if you tell stories well, then you get invested in those characters. You're along for the ride. And if you don't, then you're bored and you're detached and you move on to the next thing. I love movies. I'm a big TV show, movie, cartoon guy. That's what sort of settles my brain, because my brain is a mile a minute. So, you know, as much as I love watching movies, again, I'm not Siskel and Ebert. I don't want to just psychoanalyze these movies. I want to enjoy these movies. Yep, totally bought Luke Skywalker fighting underneath with a big monster heel like Darth Vader. You know, there's enough cool hope spots and high spots and different dips and doodles in those Star Wars movies that I'm riveted. I'm locked in, you know, to try to break all that down. You know, that's exactly how a wrestling match is. So instead of just going out there and just doing a bunch of moves, that's like Luke and Darth just going and blowing some stuff up, cutting some stuff in half with lightsabers with no story to tie it all together. You know, after the 10th explosion, you're just going to be like, okay, well, that's cool. I just saw already 9 explosions. Like, what else are they going to do? It's the story and the characters that ties it all together and makes it all meaningful. I think the best wrestlers in the world just really pull you into the ring, and that is all storytelling. That's Ricky Steamboat, Dusty Rhodes, AJ Styles, Jake the Snake. I think you're really going to see a lot now that people get to see guys like Ricochet. You know, he's telling a very different story than other guys. You know, he's telling a very up in the air, very high action, fast paced story, but it's all riveting, you know. And so what we're going to do is, depending on if you're a big guy, a fast guy, a fat guy, a muscular guy, whatever it is, we are not just going to assembly line you. We are going to give you the gourmet psychology that you need so you can put your moveset in the right places and get the maximum return on telling stories and, you know, generating your branding as a wrestler. That's what psychology is to me.
No, that's interesting. And you bring up the name Ricochet, who, you know, just being honest, he's my favorite wrestler to watch in ring right now. Like, I just love everything he does. And I think he kind of gets typecast as the flippy guy, but he's much more than that.
He is the flippy guy, but he is much more than that. And, you know, I've got no problem. Like, okay, so there's wrestlers that like to squawk about lots of stuff. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, I'm a student of wrestling. I love wrestling. I like old school wrestling, new wrestling, Mexican wrestling, Japanese wrestling, whatever it is, I enjoy. I mean, there's different guys that I enjoy to watch more, but I think, you know, as far as being the flippy guy goes, I think he's the best flippy guy going. You know, he's got flippy down to a science. Who can do flippy better than Ricochet, you know? But what strings his story together isn't the flips, it's him. Like, we didn't just, if you notice, just in a short spell of talking about Ricochet, we didn't say, oh, Ricochet's, you know, quadruple Lutz off the top ropes, his triple Lindy, his whatever. We're talking about him, the man. You know, people are invested in him. They want to see him sell. They want to see him fight up. They want to see him prevail from situations. That's being, you know, a performer that you can sink your teeth into. That's very much to me. That's very, what's that?
No, I apologize. No, oh, hell no. I don't want to get my ass beat. No, please keep going.
No, just joking. No, I mean, you know, as flippy as AJ Styles is, or, you know, the precursor to him, Shawn Michaels, and the precursor to him, Ricky Steamboat. They were all the flippy guy for their stage of the game, but it wasn't their high flying that made you love them. It was their passion and how they were fiery and how they put their stories together and so forth. You know, I think Ricochet is very, very good at that. And I have no problems with the flippy stuff. I love Rey Mysterio. I think he's awesome. He's as flippy as you're going to get. Well, but I could watch Rey Mysterio all day.
Yeah, I was just going to say, shout out to the Triple Lindy reference. Back to School is one of my all-time favorite movies. So I just, that made me clap inside.
There you go. being a student of the game, you know, like, there's so many cool old school moves that are, you know, almost go the way of the dodo bird. They get this side of extinct, and then somebody stumbles onto it, you know, puts a little spin on it, makes it their own, and then boom, bada bing, it is brand new again. I mean, you know, there's obvious maybe visual references for different guys, or even, you notice, like, on some indie show, you'll see this guy, and he's a Bargain Basement Road Warrior, a Bargain Basement Bret Hart, or he's, you know, this or that or the other. For me, I always just thought it was clever to analyze everything and enjoy everything and just take the tiny little tidbits of different things that either amused you, intrigued you, what have you, and then put your own spin on it and then become something new. Like, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. I believe in just sort of watering the garden. I think, like, for me, so many different, like, I'll give you some really obscure references that, you know, some wrestling fans will be like, who are you talking about? But, you know, Adrian Street, Billy Robinson, Johnny Saint, all these different guys that are, you know, hiding in the history of pro wrestling. Man, there's just such cool things that they all did. And there's a ton of other guys. I'm just giving you a couple off the top of my head. But, you know, and you mix that stuff with the modern day stuff and this, that, and the other. And then you form your own recipes and find things to do. I think that to me is what a performer does, is create. You're an artiste. We're just doing a very physical form of art.
No, I get that. And, you know, everything builds off of everything that came before it. So you take the foundation of what you were given, and then, yeah, you put your own little tweak on it, you twist it, and then you create something new within that genre, whatever genre of art it is. That's how it's supposed to go.
Absolutely. And even when I take the tiniest of little things from somewhere throughout history or wherever I find it, whether I find it in an old, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s wrestling match, or I find it in a movie, or I find it in a comic book or music or wherever, I always keep my eyes open to, you know, find influence and reference. And I'm also happy to sort of document where, put over, give a, like, a bibliography of where I would find these things, like Adrian Street or Billy Robinson or Green Goblin or Joker or Dee Schneider, or, you know, just some of the many, many references going into my head. I think old school guys would call that stealing fair and square. Like, you put over where you are influenced. If you don't put over where you're influenced, I think that's kind of a dick move. But if you just simply say, oh yeah, you know, Bob Orton or this or that or whoever, you know, I think that's just a nice way of being respectful when you, you know, you nick something out of, you know, some other playbook.
Now, Sin, you said something earlier, and I just want to double back here quickly because I thought it was interesting. You know, you talked about the lineage of wrestling, and you basically said that Ricky Steamboat was Shawn Michaels' father in the game, for lack of a better term. And I thought that was interesting because I think the average person would say Ric Flair.
Well, I think, you know, Flair's a whole other creature, I think. And again, this is just all one clown's opinion. You know, you're talking to a guy that wears clown paint and bunnies and duckies up. So take whatever comes out of my face with a grain of salt, I suppose. But I think, you know, okay, so Ric Flair is awesome. Yeah, he's Ric Flair. I get it. But I think Ricky Steamboat was the fast-moving, really, really lovable babyface that people could just really wrap their heart and minds around. And then came Shawn Michaels, who did that. And then came AJ Styles, who did that. And now comes along Ricochet, who does that. That's why I'm not putting Flair in that category. Like, Flair was sort of more of he was the heel. He wasn't any kind of high-flying whatever. I mean, he takes some nice bumps and all that stuff. But I think as far as these sort of uber-likable babyface, you know, smaller fight-from-underneath heroes, you're sort of your Luke Skywalkers. It's funny, Bone would say, so to speak. You know, I think those are those. That's why I'm not mentioning somebody like a Ric Flair. Maybe that's more of the, you know, if we're talking about bad guys, like awesome bad guys sort of history, then sure, I'll throw a Flair in there, of course. That's like not talking about music and talking about music and not mentioning, you know, Elvis or something like that. Like, whether it's your cup of tea or not, you can't deny that Elvis was the man, you know. So yep. So to beat the man, you got to be the man and all that jazz.
Fair enough. Sin, one thing I've always wanted to ask wrestlers, and since I have somebody of your caliber on here, what do you think about regular smucks like us using, you know, insider lingo? Because, you know, I'm going to be honest. I use that lingo in my everyday life, but I try really hard not to use it when I'm speaking with somebody like you because I feel like it's disrespectful towards you and all the work that you put in.
Oh, you know, I take that with a grain of salt. I mean, if you're going to be disrespectful or respectful, I think there's plenty other ways to get it done, you know, bigger and badder than just using some industry jargon. I think, like, I try to go out of my way to not use industry jargon because I want to sort of paint pictures and I don't want to suppose anybody is, you know, savvy to something or not. I don't want to talk about a movie. If I'm a movie director and I'm talking to a fan, I don't necessarily need to talk about, like, well, we put the blue light on this, or did you read your sides on that, and, you know, this and that, and just whatever jargon from top to bottom that in film industry guys have. I will talk about, you know, hey, did you like the soundtrack? Did you like the visual? Did you like the good guys? Did you like the bad guys? You know, I'm not going to use jargon words just for communication's sake. I really don't mind if somebody's throwing in jargon. I don't take it as an insult or whatever. I think when people start talking about, oh, I hate this guy, I hate that guy, I don't like this, this sucks, this sucks. Well, that's more and more insulting. And not even, I don't know, I'm just talking about any wrestler or any performer, really. Like, if you think about it, like, well, like him or not like him, saying hate is kind of a stiff word to use wrestling words. But like, I think, like, you have to appreciate, like, okay, so-and-so might maybe not isn't your cup of tea, but that person, you know, probably paid some heavy-duty dues, probably went through some grief to follow those dreams. So, you know, it's like I always hear, you know, kids in the mall walking through the mall, I hate Justin Bieber, or I hate Justin Timberlake, or some, or anybody named Justin, you know, whatever. Well, hate might be a strong word. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Justin Bieber is a bad example because he's kind of a dick, I suppose. But
yeah, it's okay to hate Justin Bieber, Sid. Like, I understand what you're saying. But, yeah.
I can hate on a fellow snow Mexican. But let's go with Justin Bieber. Like, or not just Justin Timberlake. So he's really not my cup of tea. That's not the kind of music that floats my boat, but I can appreciate that, you know, he's talented. I can appreciate that he works hard. I can appreciate that he's nice to fans. You know, all those kind of things I can appreciate, even though he is not my cup of tea. You know, so I think, you know, for people to sort of understand that wrestlers aren't just action figures, and, you know, we do have souls, we do have feelings. So when you say, when, you know, you see online, you know, some tweet about, oh, you know, just, I don't know, I can't even think of some of the dumb sort of trolly kind of things you hear online, you know, just about whomever, you know, guys that I'm not a fan of. I'm just like, oh, that was kind of harsh, you know, like, let's see you get in the ring and, you know, try a tenth of what this guy is doing, you know, that kind of stuff. That those sort of ignorant comments, just mean comment, I think that's way more insulting than anybody just using some jargon word. Because really, if you look at the psychology of it, why are you using that jargon word? I don't know, maybe you're trying to impress me, maybe you're just trying to be one of the guys and fit in. You know, that's a noble enough reason to use the word. So why would I take insult to that? If you're trying to say something to make me comfortable or to make me familiar with you or cozy with you, well, that's, I don't have any problems with that. You know, it's the same thing as like a baby face trying to be endearful to the audience, get that audience to generate sympathy for him. That's when you want to cheer for that guy to get up. You know, psychology is about emotions, and, you know, jargon is just how we inside explain those emotions. So, short story long, got no problem with it.
That's a really good question, actually, because I was wondering that myself, if it was kind of like, you know, like knowing another language, if you met someone, like, you know, or out and, you know, and you started speaking Spanish and they went, oh, hey, you know how to speak Spanish, and bam, you know, all of a sudden you have a connection where, like, you know, hey, you know the wrestling terms, that's cool, we can start talking wrestling terms.
I still laugh that I still, you know, when I was doing the Kazarni thing, and when that was like actually playing out in real time. And I was, you know, I remember being at a gas station in Tampa, not too far from the developmental WWE place, FCW at the time. And I remember some dude, some sort of thuggy looking dude, walks over and is like, "Yo, cause there aren't any sizzle my nizzle." I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's kind of close.
Not,
yeah,
sure, I'll quite. Take that."
Yeah. You know, he was using jargon and maybe not the, you know, the exact way I would have deciphered it, but I got what he was saying. He was just putting a friendly gesture out, and I'll take that, you know. So.
Fair enough. Touche.
I'll hear wrestlers, especially young wrestlers. Like, if I hear an older wrestler say it, it's way more lenient because they've seen good, bad, and indifferent. But when young wrestlers use the word mark, I'm not a fan of that. And I usually will kind of explain to them, like, that's kind of like, it's kind of a crappy word. It's not always a crappy word, and you can use that word in nice enough ways, but just when you're delivering the word, going, "Oh, you know, can I cuss on this thing? Like, I don't know what my
fuck deal is." Yeah, man, go for it.
All right. So, you know, to hear like a young guy be like, "Oh, fucking marks, here they are." Well, young idiot, those fucking marks are what's going to facilitate your career and help you travel the planet and put, you know, money in your bank so you can feed your family and pay your rent. So who's the mark for using the mark word, you know?
Well, I've heard your boy Christian over there on his podcast call a lot of people fucking marks.
Well, you know, Christian's a grumpy old fucker, just like Funny Bone is. And he's also, he's not a young, you know, he's not a new guy. He's been around the block a time or 10, 50 million. And so if he wants to use the word mark, I'm not going to stop him, you know. But I think, and he's just a funny, grumpy old thing. So he likes saying, you know, like if I'm training, I'm not mean to guys, but I like to swear. I even swear when I'm calling in the matches. So I usually will tell guys, "Hey, if I swear a lot, I'm just fucking around. I just like to swear." So if it's like a young guy, that way he doesn't have to go, "Oh, crap, Sin's really upset. Sin's really mad. He's going to stretch me. Blah, 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 blah." No, I just like to swear.
I could relate to that shit.
Yeah,
I too.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, if I'm wrestling a green guy and he's crowd me or whatever, I'll literally, like, I'm trying to sell, put him over, you know, I'll say like, "Fuck off, go play, leave me alone, go fuck with the crowd, you know, let me sell for you for a minute." I'll literally call "fuck off."
I actually wanted to ask you one question while we still got you about the Snake Pit and your joining forces with FSW. Because I've actually had the luxury to go visit the Snake Pit Pro Wrestling Academy one time in lovely Las Vegas. And are you guys thinking about, with these guys coming in, expanding at the location or anything, or having these guys be part of that Fantasy Slam as well?
Well, the FSW facility, like their training facility, is bigger than the Snake Pit training facility. So that will let us accommodate more students. And too, like the Snake Pit / Fantasy Slam studio was originally intended to just be the Fantasy Slam studio. And again, for people that aren't listening, that is basically like, so that's not like pro wrestling school. That is, you know, you get to come and be Billy Crystal for, you know, a 3-hour tour of City Slickers. You get to be John Wayne, you get to be Superman, all that stuff, and then you're taken care of super easily, you know, gently, whatever you can or can't do, like, we'll make you look awesome. That's what that Fantasy Slam stuff is. The Snake Pit was an afterthought to the Fantasy Slam. And, you know, if I had any sort of foresight, I would have opted for a bigger place in the first place. I actually pitched to go to FSW at the time, but my business partner just didn't want to do that. So, you know, me trying to be a good partner, I just sort of accommodated, and that was that. But I think it's just inevitable for us to have a bigger training facility. That way, you know, doing the Snake Pit, we can train guys the way we want to train them. Like, I like having guys do a lot of cardio. Like, wrestlers always laugh. Like, they're like, I literally just had a big war with Funny Bone the other night in SenCal, and I came walking back to the curtain, huffing and puffing. And as soon as I walked through the curtain, it's perfectly fine. And all the young guys in the back were like, "What a dick. Like, could you at least pretend to be, like, winded? Like, how are you not, like, I'm 44, and they're like, you know, we're 21. We would have been puking by the time of, like, seeing how hard you and Funny Bone just went." I'm like, "Well, how do you do that?" I'm like, "I just never trained like a pussy, you know?"
Nice.
That's how that went. So I did a lot of, I still do a lot of, you know, in-ring cardio, all that kind of stuff, where keeps your, you know, endurance of impact and your cardio all simultaneously. So if you can, I can trick you into keeping your heart rate up for 3 hours in a class, then a 15-20 minute match should be a cakewalk.
Yeah.
But at the smaller studio, it's hard to do that because guys are like sitting on benches waiting for their turn to get in the ring. But here, like, I can have guys, you know, lapping the ring and sliding in only when they're going to do their drills or matches or what have you. And everybody else is just constantly, you know, sidestepping around the ring, jogging around the ring, doing squats, doing, you know, exercises around the ring. And again, 3 hours later, I've tricked you into doing 1,000 squats and so forth until it becomes second nature and you're not even thinking about it.
Sin, I can't tell if that bird in the background is trying to escape or if he's getting ready for dinner. What you got going on, brother?
So that squeaking is one of my little pooches playing. This is my toy and taking it away from another one of my little pooches. And they are, of course, they decide to do this when I'm, you know, on the phone or doing something. It'll be quiet all day once I get on the phone.
So it's not even a bird. It's a dog playing with a toy, a squeaky toy. Yes,
it is two dogs having a feud over one squeaky toy. You know, there's a million squeaky toys on this floor that you cannot see right here in internet land. They choose to battle over one toy.
Of course. That's how it works.
Of course.
Hey, you don't have to apologize for dog sounds.
I've got a big, huge dog, and I've got a bunch of little dogs. And these two little dogs are like the most feistiest, ridiculous. Actually put on pretty good matches. They're pretty entertaining.
You going to sign him? You going to get him into the camp and get him going?
Yeah, when I get tired of the snake pit, maybe open up a dog pit or something. Yeah. I
don't know. That could
be I like it, man. We get the dogs' characters and stuff like that. We can have like Heathcliff the dog and Heathcliff versus Garfield or Scooby-Doo versus Astro from the Jetsons. I think we're on to something here.
That's it. But especially like I preach to the wrestling students, be safe. So if I was to open up a doggy pro wrestling show, it would be a total work and totally safe. I would not hire Michael Vick as my commissioner.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
does sound like a good opening work. Match. Good
no,
opening
no,
match.
No real dogs doing real bad things. But yeah, these clowns are ridiculous. I could laugh and watch these guys for days. Like, they're ridiculous. And I have a big giant. I've got a big giant mastiff puppy, who is totally submissive to this tiny little. Like, we have a little rescue little pooch, and we're not even exactly sure what she is, but she's like 25 pounds stuffed into a 5 pound bag. She's like a little bowling ball with legs, and she's just like this cannonball. And she's tiny, and she's about the size of my mastiff puppy's head. And they're both, you know, they're both puppies. And so he like lays on his back and rolls around and. She just jumps on him and works stiff with him, and he just thinks it's the funniest, greatest thing. He just sits there and puts her over all day. It's pretty ridiculous.
That mastiff puppy, it's going to mess around, be big as you.
Man, we'll see. We'll see. He's only, like, I want to say he's 7 or 8 months now. He's about 8 months now, and he's pushing 80 pounds.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I used to have a mastiff back in the day, and when he was full grown, he was, I want to say, 210 pounds, and if he stood up with me and kind of danced with me, you know, put his front paws on my chest, he was actually taller than I was.
Wow.
You know, and I'm just shy of 6'2", so he was a big pooch.
Wow.
I can't remember. I know if we talked a few times ago when we talked, you had to save one of those out of a river there. Was that the 80 pound mastiff?
Well, I'm sorry, say that again, you're cutting out.
Oh, sorry, you had to, I remember a few times ago when we talked, you were just getting back from a hike, and you had to save one of those dogs from the river. Was that the 80-pound mastiff?
Yes, it was the mastiff.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yeah, he was not quite as big as he is now, and he got caught up in a little current. Me and my lady were out hiking with them, and he was jumping around and frolicked and got caught in these sort of the current of these rapids, and he just sort of looked at me like, Dad?
What do I do? I'm stuck.
Yes. I don't think he knew exactly what was going on. He just like...
He just knew something was wrong. You
know, yeah, it was weird. Like, he was like floating or something. It's like, I don't understand. This giant wet toy is dragging me away. Could you save me, Father?
Please.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, we're actually recording this on a Thursday, and we all, the entire wrestling world, we got the unfortunate news that Leon White, also known as Big Van Vader, he actually transitioned a few days ago. So, Senna, I wanted to ask you, did you ever get an opportunity to work with Vader at all in any of your travels?
I didn't get to work with Vader. We talked quite a while ago about maybe coming in and doing a spot on Freak Show. And he was pretty perplexed about it. He didn't understand exactly. Like, I swear, if I could record some of the phone calls of some of, like, you know, explaining to the scenarios of what I wanted from some of the guys. Because it's not like a regular wrestling show where you come in and, you know, okay, I'm going to call up Sammy Callahan and say, hey, I want you to wrestle Pentagon, you know, blah, 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 blah. I want you to do this. Okay. You know, that's standard, you know, wrestling stuff. You want to be a good guy, the other guy be a bad guy, whatever, whatever. Go do your thing. Where this, you know, like I literally remember talking to DDP about doing this. Like, it wasn't Freak Show. It was like an offshoot. It was like this comedy horror movie that we were putting together, and it never came to pass. Although I would love to do it. I called it Babies with Rabies, and it was about this horde of evil babies that came down and ate all the superheroes. Now the planet's panicking because all the superheroes are gone. So they kind of pull like an Armageddon and get like these sort of like these dodgy anti-heroes. So they get a bunch of the bad guys out of jail and say, look, if you guys help save the day, we'll exonerate you, whatever, whatever. So I wanted Diamond Dallas Page to play the voice of this little like robot hamster, and having to explain that to DDP over the bro, you want me to do what?
I would love to be a fly on the wall during that conversation, seriously.
Dude, I've had some really ridiculous conversations with some really, you know, crazy characters and this and that. So yeah. So anyway, so there you have it. I think that's my life, just ridiculous adventure after ridiculous adventure.
Not
which
a bad
isn't too shabby. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take a lot of stuff on this planet. I'll take being amused. That's a cool way to kill time while you're stuck here.
For those few days we have left until Sunday, yeah.
That's
Saturday.
Exactly it. Saturday. Yes. So if we're
Saturday,
here
right,
on Sunday,
Sunday when we're gone.
Saturday,
right, we're gone Sunday.
Saturday went well.
Yeah.
So just in case, I implore everybody, by the time you listen to this, it's going to be Friday, and it's probably going to be too late. But either way, what you can between Friday and Saturday, get your affairs in order, do what you must, and do whatever you always wanted to do. Just get it out the way, because we just don't know.
That's right. And I will say, in all seriousness, wherever Mr. Vader is at this stage of the game, when he's flying around the cosmos or he's playing, you know, poker with Ben Franklin and Elvis Presley on some cloud somewhere, wherever he is, I wish him well. And hail to all the wrestling gods that are watching from the best seats in the house.
Yeah, I think we can all second that emotion. I think you speak for us all on that one. So, yeah, June 23rd, this Saturday, Las Vegas. Fremont Country Club, please, sir, put on the hard sell. Let everybody know why they need to have their face in the place.
Guys, I want you all to come and enjoy yourself. Come to the most ridiculous, funniest, most violent, crazy spectacle you are ever going to see in your life. If Jim Carrey and Will Ferrell were in a wrestling ring, you know, on the big screen, that's the kind of shenanigans you're going to see in the ring. Like, mix a Rob Zombie concert with South Park, with Dumb and Dumber, and smash it all together, slap WrestleMania right on top of it, and then you've got Freak Slam. That's exactly what it's going to be. And whether it's Freak Slam or any indie show in your neck of the woods, I implore all you fans, all you, in the lovingest word that I'll use, all these loving marks. If you're a mark for the business, like all the wrestlers are, like I am, like a mark in the good sense of the word, support all your local wrestling shows, you know, as much as you can. Like, share, invite their events, you know, because if those events thrive, you're giving wrestlers a platform to learn their craft, hone their craft, get experience, get exposure. They're going to entertain you along the way, and you will help do your part of keeping an industry, you know, fat and full. So please come and do that, whether it's for Freak Slam or any other show near you. You can find us specifically on Facebook. You'll find us at Freak Show Wrestling. You'll find us at Hood Slam. If you just Google Freak Slam, you'll see all the stuff pop up. It's on Instagram. It's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook at Sin Bodhi. All the info is all there. Come on down, check out the show, support your local wrestling show, support indie shows, and we will support you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. You guys, y'all heard the man. If you're in the vicinity, Las Vegas, this Saturday, the 23rd, Fremont Country Club. If you're in Arizona, California, if you're in Nevada, if you're in Mexico, if you're in New Mexico or Old Mexico, come down from Oregon, come down from Washington, whatever the case may be. If you're in the vicinity, have your face in the place. This Saturday, June 23rd, Freak Slam, Fremont Country Club, Old Vegas.
Bam.
Are you ready? Do I look like I'm clowning around?